Mishnayis Mesechta Sukkah. First Mishnah, Sukkah Shehi Gavoya Lamala Meyesra Mama. A sukkah here means the schach, the covering of your sukkah. If it's above 20 amis, the locher is psula, that the sukkah is possible, you cannot use it for the mitzvah of sukkahs. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, the sukkah is still kosher. In other words, it's a machlokes that Tanakhama holds that the schach has to be noticeable. It has to be something that you could see. So therefore, if something which is lamala, if it's above 20 yamas off the ground or off the floor of your sukkah, since you do not notice, you cannot notice it, he holds it's possible. However, Rabbi Yehuda says, no, still it's kosher, even though it's above 20 yamas. Another pshat the Gemara says, the machlokes is that the Tanakhama holds that a sukkah has to be a diras arai. That means a temporary hut like. Cannot be a diras kva. Therefore, if it's more than 20 amas tall above, it looks like a diras kva, like a permanent house, and that's also for the mitzvah sukkah. However, Rabbi Yehuda holds his kosher, even though it looks like a diras kva, still he holds his kosher. Lalocha, we hold that like the Tanakhama, that if the schach is above 20 amis off its floor, the sukkah is possible. Now, Usheina Gavoya Asara Tfachim. Let's say the schach is not 10 tfachim off the ground of the sukkah. The sukkah is also possible. It's not something you could use to live in. It has to at least be 10 tfachim, which is around 40 inches off the ground. Visheinla Shalosh Tfanis. If the sukkah does not have three walls to it, also the sukkah is possible. You have to have at least three walls. And we'll see later on exactly how these three walls have to be made. Now, v'shechamosa meruba mitzilsa. If there's more sun coming into the sukkah than there is shade, in all these cases, psula. The sukkah is possible. In other words, that's not called, the schach is possible. It's not called good schach. Sukkah yishon. If you have an old sukkah, which was made way before Sukkot. So Beishamai Poislim, Beishamai says the sukkah is possible. According to Beishamai, it has to be made L'shein Mitzvah Sukkah. So if it was only made within the last 30 days, then we say most probably it was made L'shein Mitzvah Sukkah. But if it was made 30 days before Sukkot, then it's Psula. U'Beisilu Machshirin, Beisilu says no, still the sukkah is kosher, it does not have to be made L'shein Mitzvah Sukkah. Now, v'yezu hi sukkah yishona, what is considered an old sukkah, that is the machlokes between Beishamai and Beisilul, kol she'asol koidem lechog, shloshim yoim, if you made your sukkah 30 days before the chag of Sukkot, that's where it's a machlokes that Beishamai says it's posel, and Beisilul says it's kosher. Av le'masol l'shem ha'chag. But let's say when the person went to make his sukkah, even though he made it way before the Yom Tov, but if he had in mind when he was making it that he's going to make it l'shem the mitzvah sukkah, then afilu metchilas hashana k'shera. Even if it was made at the beginning of the year, in other words, even though it was made kamat a year ago, after the last sukkahs, but as long as you make it l'shem mitzvah sukkah, the sukkah is kosher even according to Beis Shammai. Mishnah Beis. If somebody makes his sukkah underneath a tree, so kilo aso b'teich habayis, it's like you made your sukkah in the middle of your house. In other words, the sukkah is possible. That's not called a good sukkah. Part of the mitzvah sukkah is that, like, you have to be able to see the kechavim. Your schach has to be under the kechavim and not under something else. So if your sukkah, the schach, is under a tree, it's like it's in your house, that the sukkah is possible. Sukkah agabe sukkah, let's say you have one sukkah on top of another sukkah, is hel yoyna ksher, then the top sukkah is kosher, because on top of the schach, the top sukkah, there's nothing, there's only straight up to the kechotim, to the sky, therefore the top schach is kosher. But for yatachtoyne psula, but the bottom schach, the bottom sukkah is possible, because above that is another sukkah. So if you want to use the bottom sukkah, it's possible, because the schach is not like underneath the shemayim. There's something on top of the schach. Rabbi Yehuda says, Emein diurin bel yoyna. If there's nobody living on the top sukkah, if nobody's using the top sukkah, then hatachtoyne ksheira. Then the bottom sukkah is kosher. You could use it for the mitzvah of sukkahs. And the Gemara explains that in a case where the top or the bottom schach is very weak, and therefore you can't stand on top of it, so you cannot use the top sukkah, so pshit, everybody holds the top sukkah is like nothing, therefore it's only mainly the bottom sukkah, and therefore like the schach of the top and the bottom schach is both kosher. Therefore you could use the bottom sukkah for the sukkah. Providing though that if you want to come on to use the top schach, it can't be more than 20 yamis above the ground of the bottom sukkah. The machlekes is though where the bottom schach, it's weak, but it's possible to put things on top of it. So it's possible at chak, if you are forced, maybe you could use the top sukkah. So that's the machlekes, if you could only use it by force, at chak, is that considered the top sukkah is called the good sukkah? Therefore, the bottom sukkah is possible, or else no, the chum hold, still the bottom sukkah is kosher. Since people would not use the top schach, we do not look as if the top schach is a mafsik, but rather as if the top schach is like part of the bottom schach. Therefore, the bottom sukkah is kosher. Mishnah Gimel. Peires oleho sadin b'fnei hachama. Let's say it's very sunny on sukkahs, and you want to spread out the sadin peiris, means you want to spread out sadin the sheet, mifnei hachama, because it's very sunny, so you want to put the sheet on top of the schach, like to stop the sun from coming in, oy tachteho mifnei hanishor, or else you want to put the sheet right underneath the schach, because the schach, the leaves, are falling into your sukkah, so you want to stop hanishor, means what's falling in, oy sheperas agavi hakinof, or else you spread out a sheet above four poles. Agave kinuf means you have four poles on four sides, like on the sides of the bed. And on top of this, you throw a sheet, like to make a canopy on top of the bed. So here, this canopy is underneath the schach, and you want to sit underneath this, is psula. You should know the sukkah, or the place underneath this spread out sheet, is psula. Because again, it's not cold, you're sitting underneath the schach. Or else, if the sheet is on top of the schach, it's not called the schach is underneath the shemayim, but rather the schach is underneath the sheet. And since we're talking about a sheet that's possible to use for schach, like we'll learn later on exactly what could be used for the schach, but since this sheet cannot be used for the schach, therefore the sukkah is possible. Avo poresu agabe nakalite hamita. But you allow to spread the sheet over, if you only have two poles sticking up, and then you have a pole going across. So the kids, when you throw the sheet over, it doesn't have like a roof on top. It's less than a tefach wide on top. Therefore, it's not considered like an oyel. So therefore, it does not stop like the schach. In other words, it's not cold, you're underneath a tent. You are still considered underneath the schach. Therefore, the schach is kosher. In other words, only if you spread out the sheet on four poles, they'll spread out completely. It's called like a new oil, like a new tent. So now if this oil is underneath the schach, and you go inside this oil, this tent, so it's considered like you're in the tent, you're not in the sukkah. However, if the sheet that's spread out is only over two poles, in other words, it's like one pole on one side, one pole on the other side, one pole going straight across, so therefore it's a very, very narrow top. So when the sheet is folded over, spread out, the top part of it, the gag, is less than a tefach wide. So it's not considered like it's an oil, it's not called a new tent, but rather it's just bottled to the schach, so it's still considered that you're under the schach. Therefore, the sukkah would still be kosher. Mishneh Dalet. Hidlo oleho esagefen. Let's say on top of the walls of the sukkah, you spread out hagefen a vine, that has a lot of leaves to it, v'es hadalas, or else the leaves of a pumpkin, v'es hakisayim, or else the leaves of an ivory tree, v'sichech agaba. Now on top of these things, you put your schach. So the locher is psula. Such schach is possible, because this vine or these branches that are still growing, something that's still attached to the ground that's growing, is possula schach. So therefore, even though you put kosher schach on top of these things, but still the psula, the schach psula is there, therefore the schach is possible. But vim hoya sichach harbe mehen, let's say you have much more schach kosher on top of this few leaves of schach psula, of these few leaves of the vine leaves, then the sukkah would be kosher. Because it's like you go bosa roiv, and since roiv of the schach is from ksheir, schach kosher, the schach would be kosher. Oishe kotzitzon, another way out would be is to cut off the vine, cut off the leaves. Therefore, the leaves are not attached to the ground anymore. So then ksheir, then the schach would be kosher. Because zeha klal, this is the general rule. Kol shehu mekabel tuma. Anything that is mekabel tuma, if something tamei, if a sheretz touches it, it becomes tamei. V'yein gedulim in oretz, and it does not grow off the ground. Ein mesachachim boi. Then you're not allowed to use these things for schach. In other words, it has to be something that cannot be mekabel tuma, and it has to be something that's gedulim in oretz that grows out of the ground. But the chol dover she'enu mekabel tuma, anything that's not mekabel tuma, the gedulim in oretz and grows out of the ground, is mesachachin boi. Then you could use it as kosher for schach. So really, what we learn out from this mishnah is that there are three tanoim, three conditions in having schach kshera. First of all, it has to be something that's not attached to the ground, that's not mechubel akarker. It has to be something that was cut off. Like here, the Rashi says, if you use the vines, or else use these leaves of the delas, of the pumpkin, that's still growing, if you put it on top of the schach becomes, the sukkah becomes possible. Then the Mishnah says another two conditions, that the schach has to be something that is not mekabel tuma. In other words, if it's a kli, even though it's made out of wood, even though it's made out of something that grows out of the ground, but if it was made into a kli already, let's say you made the wood into a ladder already, that now this ladder is called a kli. If a sheretz touches it, it becomes tamei. It's psula, you can't use it for schach. And the third condition is that it has to be something that grows out of the ground. You cannot use something else, even something that's not from a mekabel tuma, like kli galolim, but since it does not grow out of the ground, it's not gedulim in oretz, it's a mesachachim boi. So b'kitzur, can only use something that grows out of the ground, like a bamboo stick or wood or leaves, and providing, secondly, it was cut off, it's not attached, and also it was not made yet into a kli, therefore it's still not mekabel tuma, therefore it's usable for schach. Then Mishnah Hei, Chavile Kash, that's a bundle of straw, the Chavile Eitzim, or a bundle of wood, the Chavile Zrodin, that's a bundle of leaves, a bundle of leaves of a tree, soft leaves. So the loch is Ein Mesachim Bohem, you're not allowed to use these things for schach. And the Gemara explains, because we're afraid that a person, what he does is, he comes home with a bundle, that means tied up a bundle of straw or a bundle of wood, what he does is, first he throws it on top of the sukkah. And he has in mind that it should just dry out, so he's not making it then, l'shem schach, he didn't put it there for schach at all. And then later he forgets it there and he leaves it there. So that would be the psul of tasuv lemin osui, like it was considered like it was made already, the psul for the sukkah. In other words, since when you first put it on top of the sukkah for the schach, you do not have intentions that it should be for the schach, but rather you just want to leave it there for a while till it dries out, and then later you change your mind and leave it there, so that's the psul. So therefore, even though now you put it there l'shem mitzvah sukkah, still midrabanan it's possible. But v'chulam she'itaron ksheiros, if you untie the bundle, you break the knots and spread it out, since you are doing a maisa, an action now of putting it there l'shem mitzvah sukkah or l'shem schach, therefore it's ksheiros. V'kulam ksheiros l'defanas, but all these things you're allowed to use for the walls of a sukkah. In other words, the walls of the sukkah do not have any psul of tasav leminosui, does not have a loch, it has to be a dover, that's not mekabel tuma, can't be a kli. Any type of a wall you make is kosher for a sukkah. In other words, any type of material you use for the walls is kosher for the sukkah. The Mishnah Vov, Mesachachin b'nisorim. You're allowed to make the schach from boards. B'nisorim are pieces of wood, boards. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, this is Rabbi Yehuda Shita. Rabbi Meir Eiser, Meir says that it's also. And the Gemara explains it depends how wide the board is. If we make a gzera, it looks like a tikra, it looks like the roof of your house. So Rabbi Yehuda holds that it's muta, and Rabbi Meir holds that it's also. The Gemara says the machlokes says if the board is between 3 tfachim and 4 tfachim wide. Now, Nosen Oleho Neser, shurochav abor tfochim. Let's say on top of the schuch, on top of the schach, you put a board that's wide four tfochim. Now we're talking about now this board is on the side of the schach near the walls. Therefore, ksheira, the locher is that the sukkah is still kosher. But providing you should not sleep directly underneath that board. In other words, the board, if it's four tefachim wide, everybody holds this considered like schach psula. But the halacha is, if you have the schach psula on the sides of the sukkah near the walls, there we say doifen akuma, and as long as there are not dalad amas worth of schach psula, we say the sukkah is still kosher. We look as if the wall turns over and looks over that one board that's posel and connects to the rest of the schach that's kosher. So therefore the rest of the sukkah is kosher, just you should not sleep directly underneath this board which is four tefachim wide. The Mishnah Zayin, Tikro She'en Oleha Maziva. If you have a roof that does not have a maziva, means like a plaster on top of the roof, which in other words means really the roof should be kosher for schach. It's only made out of narrow beams. Each one is less than, let's say, three tefachim wide. So really, it should be kosher for schach. But however, it's a tikra, means it's a roof that you use in your house the whole year round. So since it's called a tikra, it's posel l'schach. So therefore, we have to do something to it now, that it should not be called a tikra, a roof of a house. And secondly, we have the psul of tasuv lemin osui. We can't just want to use this now for the schach, because the Torah says tasuv, it has to make it now for schach, and not if it was there from before. So what do we have to do now to this roof? So Rabbi Yehuda says that Beishamai holds mefak fake. You have to move each beam, like just pick it up and put it down. And also, v'noitel achas mibintayim. In between each two, you have to take out the middle one. You have to do two actions to this roof. First of all, you have to pick it up to take away the psul of tasav loimin osui. And secondly, you have to take off one beam in between to take away the name of the tikra, the name of the roof that it had from before. However, Beis Hillel says, mefakfek, no, either one is enough. Either mefakfek, you like pick up each beam. So by picking up each beam by itself is doing two things. You're taking away the psul of tasav lem, and also you're like making it over again. And also you're taking away the first name of a tikra that it had before, and now you're making it into schach. Or else you don't have to pick up each beam by itself, but it's enough just to take out a middle beam in between. That's enough to make it a tasav lemin osui, and to make it into, and to take off the name of a tikra that it had before. This is the way Rabbi Yehuda learns the machlokes. Rabbi Meir says, Noitel achas mimemtayim v'yeinim afakfek. No, you do not have to pick up each beam, but it's enough just to take out the middle beam in between the other two. In other words, Rabbi Meir holds that there's no machlekes here between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Both agree that what you have to do is take out a middle beam in between the other two beams. By taking out one middle beam, for that you like make it a new name. You take off the name of a tikra that it had before, and now it's considered like you're making schach. And also you take off the psul of tasuv lo min osui. And v'yein mafakfek, he holds it's not enough just to pick up the beams, but you have to take the middle one out. The Mishnah Ches, HaMekore Sukosei Bashvudim. If somebody puts pieces of metal, like spits, on top for his chach, Oy Baruchas Hamita, or else he uses the side poles of a bed, and these pieces are made out of metal, so therefore they are posel for schach. So it depends. Im yesh revach b'neiyam k'moison, if there's space in between these poles, the same amount as the pole itself, k'sheira. Then if you put kosher schach in between these poles, so then the schach is kosher. Then the Mishnah says, ha'choytek ba'godish, if somebody hollows out a space in a godish, is a stack of hay, la'sais b'sukkah, to make a sukkah. In other words, you have a big stack of hay there, and now you go and hollow out in the middle of it a box, a place to use for a sukkah. Talachar is ain't a sukkah. That sukkah is psula. So in the first part of the Mishnah, the Mefarshim learn that when it says there's a space in between them, the same size as the pieces of metal, it doesn't mean exactly the same size, but it means the space in between is a drop wider than the actual space of the Shvudim. Therefore, if you put Kosher Schach in between, you'll have more Kosher Schach than these metal pieces. Therefore, the Schach is Kosher. And the second part, that if you hollow out a sukkah from a haystack, the pshat is that you are not really making the walls of the sukkah, but rather the walls are like there by itself. So that's a psul of taseh v'lo min osui. You have to go to make the sukkah, and not if the sukkah is made like by itself there from before. The Mishnah tests, ha-mishal shel defanis, if you're making, let's say, the walls of your sukkah, and you started upwards, and now you're building it downwards, so that's called milamala lamata, from upwards downwards. So in gevoya minoritz shleisha tfochim psula, if the walls do not reach the ground, but they are three tfochim, let's say that's around 12 inches off the ground, so then we say these walls are psula. Because we do not say it's above loved, it's not like attached to the ground, therefore it's not considered a mechitza, so you do not have the walls of the sukkah. But if the walls come down and they're less than three tefachim off the ground, even though they're not touching the ground, still the sukkah would be kosher. What about milamato lamala? Let's say when you started to build the walls, you started on the floor and you started to build upwards. So in gevoya minoritz asara tefachim, as long as the walls are 10 tefachim tall, is kshera, the sukkah is kosher. Even though the schach is way above the walls, as long as they're directly on top of the wall, we would consider as if the wall goes straight up, and therefore the sukkah is kosher. Rabbi Yossi says that kishen shel milamato lamala asar tefachim, just like if you start on the ground building upwards, as long as it's high 10 tefachim off the ground, the walls is kosher. Kach milamala lamato asar tefachim, the same way if you are building the walls downwards, even if you start very high up, as long as you have the walls that are 10 tefachim long, high, so still the sukkah is kosher. Because he holds a mechitza teluya is also kosher. Even though the walls are hanging and they're more than three tefachim off the ground, still we consider as if the walls come straight down to the ground. And since the wall itself is yutvachim, therefore it's kshera. However, lalacha, we do not pass on like Rabbi Yossi. Hirchak es haschach min hadafanois shleisha tefachim. Let's say you have good walls, but now on top, when you put the schach, you leave a space of three tefachim between the wall and where the schach begins. So the locher is psula. That sukkah is possible, because if there's a space of three tefachim between the wall and where the schach begins, that's psula. We do not see the schach to be attached to the wall, and therefore the sukkah is possible. The Mishnah Yud, Bayis Shenivchas, a house that like caved in. The roof caved in, most of the roof fell in. V'sichech agabov. Now you want to still use the walls of the house, because now on top you want to put kosher schach there. So the locher is, im yesh min ha-koysel asichech arba amos psula. If like from the wall to where you're putting the kosher schach, there is still a dalad amos worth of the old roof, which is posel ischach, so then the sukkah is posel. But if it's less than 4 tefachim wide of this posel ischach of the roof itself, then if you put kosher ischach in the middle, the sukkah is kosher. Because this is the halacha, that if you have something like from the wall up until where the schach is, if it's less than dalet amos, we say doifen akuma. We look as if the wall of the sukkah like turns over and meets the place where the kosher ischach begins. But if that part of the roof that's still there is dalet tefachim wide, then we do not say dofen akuma, then the schach is posel. And the same halacha replies, v'chein chotzer shimukefes achsadra. If you have a chotz, let's say a backyard, which has four houses on all four sides of it. So really there are four walls there. The four houses on the four sides could be the four walls for the sukkah. But shehimukefes achsadra, there's like a porch in the back, on the front of each wall of the house, which has a little awning, which sticks out. So it comes out the same case now. If you want to put like schach ksher in the middle, so this porch that's sticking out, the roof of the porch that's sticking out, if it's less than dalad amis wide, so then we consider the wall of the house to be the wall of the sukkah, and it like turns over and meets the kosher schach that's in the middle. But if this achsadr, if this porch, the awning over the porch, is dalad amis wide, so then that is poslas schach. So it comes out that the kosher schach is first starting 4 amas away from the walls of the sukkah, then the sukkah is psula. In other words, the same halacha that applies if you have the part of the old roof still above, if that roof is dalad amas wide, so then we say the schach is posel. The same thing would apply with an achsadra, with a porch. If the roof of the porch sticks out dalad amas, so from the wall to where you're going to put the kosher schach, there's 4 amas, so then the schach is posel. And the third case is also sukkah gedola, you have a very wide sukkah. In other words, you have your walls of the sukkah. Shekifu bedov v'shem esachachim bay. Again, right along the walls of the sukkah on top, you have schach made out of metal. So im yesh tacht of arba amos psula. Again, if these metal, the posla schach, if it's 4 amos wide, so it's from the wall to where you're going to start putting the kosher schach, there's first 4 amos of schach psula. So again, the sukkah is posel. However, if it's less than dalad amos, even though it's more than 3 tvachim, because here there's no space in between, it's like roofing there. There is something there. So as long as there's something there, even though it's posel schach, we say the halacha of doifen akuma. We look as if the wall of the sukkah comes up and turns over and ends exactly where the schach ksheira, where you're putting the kosher schach, begins. Even though the first part of the schach between the wall and where you're putting your bamboo sticks, there is some metal pieces there, but as long as those metal pieces are not dalad amis wide, so then we say the halacha of doifen akuma that the sukkah is kosher. So the Mishnah is saying 3 different cases of this halacha of doifen akuma, that when you have the walls of the sukkah and then right at the beginning of the schach there's some schach psula there, either because it's a roof that was left over from the old roof, or else it's a achsadra, it's a porch with an awning on top of it, or else it's stam schach psula. If it's dalad amis wide, then it's psula. If it's less than dalad amis, then the halacha is that the schach is kosher. The Mishnah Yud Aleph, ha'oseh sukkasoy k'min srif. If somebody makes a sukkah like a tent, in other words, you put the 2 walls and you just let them lie one against the other. You make it look like a cone, like a tent. And on top, there's no tefach of a roof. It comes to a point like, or else oseh som chol akosel, or else you took the walls and you just leaned it against the wall. Again, that there's no real roof to the top. The top is the point. So Rabbi Eleza says, in such a case, the sukkah is possible. It's not considered you have walls and tzchach, as even though here this wall was made out of, let's say, bamboo sticks, so let it be considered for the tzchach also. Rabbi Eleza says, no, that since we can't tell what's the wall and what's the tzchach, this sukkah is possible. Mifnei shein lo gag, because we don't see, it does not have a roof. V'chacham say no, it's kosher. Even though it looks like a tent, the top comes like to a tip, but still, since lamais it's more than yud tefachim off the ground, and inside it's dalet tefachim wide, so therefore it's considered a kosher sukkah. However, the halacha is that the sukkah is posel. You have to have walls, and then on top of the wall you have to have a roof going across. A gag has to at least be a tefach wide. If it's less than a tefach wide on top, it's not considered a roof. Now, machtselas konyan gedolah. If you have very big mats made out of reeds, konyan is always reeds, so it depends like this. Asol l'shchiva, if it was made to lie on, to use for a bed, so then we say mekabelas tumah. It's considered like a kli, and therefore it's mekabel tumah. If a sheretz, if a dovet tummy would touch it, it would become tummy. Therefore, the locher is v'yein mesachachim bo, like we had before. You cannot use this for schach, since it's something that's mekabel tumah. It's posel schach. What about lesichuch? You made this mat of reeds for the purpose of just using it for schach. Then we say mesachachim bo, you're allowed to use it for schach for the roof of your sukkah. And v'ein makabel tuma, it's not considered a kli, a use for a person. Therefore, it's not makabel tuma. Rabbi Eliezer Amir Rebbeleza says like this, that achas ketana v'achas gedela, whether it's big or whether it's small, it has the same halacha. In other words, according to the Tanakhama, he says if it's a big one, is minastam made only for schach. Therefore, it's only if you had intentions to make it for a bed to lie on, do we say that it's possible. Now, Rabbi Eliezer says no, that achas ketana v'achas gedela, whether it's a big mat or whether it's a small mat, are sol l'shchiva. Minastam, if you just make it without any special intentions, we say both of them are made for the purpose of being a bed for you, to lie on. And therefore, mekabelas tuma, it's called a kli, and it's mekabel tuma, and therefore, v'yei mesachachim bo, you cannot use it for schach. But lesichuch, if you make it with special intentions to use only for schach, for roofing, for covering, and not to lie on, then we say mesachachim bo, you're allowed to use it for schach, v'yeinu mekabelas tuma, and it's not called a kli, it's not called something for the use of a person, therefore it's not mekabel tuma. In other words, the Tanakhama makes a difference between a big mat and a small mat. He holds that a small mat, true, that minastam is made l'shchiva to lie on, and it's possible. A big mat, minastam is made l'sichach. Only if you have intentions to make it l'shchiva, then it's possible. Reb Leza says no, that whether it's big or whether it's small, minastam, if you don't have any special intentions, we say it's made l'shchiva. You made this mat to lie on, and therefore it is mekabel tuma, and it's posel l'schach. The only time either a big mat or a smaller mat is kosher is only if you have intentions to use it l'schach, l'sichach, for roofing, not to be used for the purpose of a person, therefore it's not considered a kli, it's not mekabel tuma, therefore it's kosher l'schach. Yeperek Sheni. Hayoshen tachas hamita basukah. If somebody sleeps underneath a bed in his sukkah, lo yotzi yedei chevosai. You are not mekayim the mitzvah of sukkah. In other words, if you eat or sleep under the bed, so the bed is like a mafsek, it's dividing between you and the schach, so it's not considered that you're sitting or sleeping under the schach of the sukkah, but rather you're only sleeping or eating underneath your bed, and therefore the bed is posel for schach, so therefore you're not yotzei the mitzvah. On this, Omer Rabbi Yehuda says no, that noyegim hoyinu, we used to act, that shoyinu yishenim tachas amitim mefnei hazakenim. By him and his house, like they used to act, that they used to sleep under the bed in the sukkah, in front of the zakenim, in front of the big tamid chachamim. And v'loy omru lanu dover, they did not answer us back and tell us that it's wrong. In other words, Rabbi Yehuda holds that you are allowed to sleep or eat underneath your bed in the sukkah. And Rabbi Yehuda goes, according to his shita, they said in the first Mishnah, that he holds a sukkah is called a diras kfa. It could even be a permanent type of living. Therefore, a bed, which is only a temporary type of living, it's only a oil arai, so we do not say that the oil arai, the temporary bed, could take away from the permanent sukkah. Therefore, as long as you're inside the sukkah is the main thing, and therefore, even though you're underneath the bed in the sukkah, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you're still yotzei the mitzvah. However, l'alocha, we do not hold like Rabbi Yehuda. We hold that the Tanakhama, if you're underneath a bed in the sukkah, you are not mekayim the mitzvah. And in the Gemara it says, we're talking about that this bed is at least 10 tfachim off the ground. Then the Mishnah says, Omer Rabbi Shimon says, that Maisa betevi avdosho Rabbi Gamliel. It once happened a story with the Eved, with the slave of Rabbi Gamliel, shohayu yoshein tacha samita. This was like an effort, Kenani, that he slept underneath the bed in the sukkah. Now, v'yomer lehen Rabbi Gamliel l'zakenim. Rabbi Gamliel said to the Talmid Chachamim there, to the older people there, Re'isem Tevi Avdi, did you see Tevi, my slave? Shu Talmud Chacham. He's like a Talmud Chacham, he knows the halachas. The Yodeya, he knows Sha'avodim Peturim in HaSukkah. That an Eved Kenani has the same halacha like a lady, that is potter from the mitzvah sukkah. Lefikach, therefore, since he is potter from the mitzvah, Yoshinu Tachas Amita, when he went into his sukkah, he slept underneath the bed. because he's not mechuyev to sleep in the sukkah. So therefore, he was able to sleep under the bed. Well, if we dakenu lamadnu, from this story we learn out shehayoshen tachas amita, that if somebody sleeps underneath the bed in his sukkah, lo yotzi dechevosai, you are not mekayim the mitzvah of sukkah. This is a riot to the Tanakhama. In other words, only an Eved, Kanani, which is proper from the mitzvah, has the right to sleep under the bed in a sukkah. But a person that has a chiyuv to be mekayim the mitzvah of sukkah, he is not allowed to eat or sleep under the bed, but rather it has to be on top, because otherwise he is considered under the bed and not under the sukkah. The Mishnah Beis, Hasoymech Sukosoy Bekarei Hamita. If somebody has his sukkah lying on top of the sides of his bed, the legs of his bed, sukshera, still the sukkah is kosher. So the Mar explains, even though the sukkah could be moved around, since it's still a diras arai, it's a temporary dira, it's kosher. However, Rabbi Yehuda says, imeinu yecholo lamoid bifnei atzmo, if it cannot stay up by itself. In other words, when you take away this kari hamita, if you take away the bed legs, the schach will cave in, so then psula, the sukkah is posel. And Yib Yehuda goes l'shitosa, that Yib Yehuda holds, you need a diras kfa, it has to be something that's stationary, that could stay there. So therefore this sukkah, since it could be moved around, if you move away the kari hamita, the sukkah would fall down. It's not called a diras kfa, a permanent dira, therefore current Yib Yehuda is psula. However, the loch is like the Tanakama, that the sukkah is kshera. Sukkah hamaduvlelis. If you have an uneven schach, in other words, you have schach leaves, that one place is higher than the other places, so what? Still the schach is kshera. V'shetzil samrubim mechamosa kshera. As long as you have like more shade than you have sun coming in, it's called kosher schach, the sukkah is kosher. Hamu'uba kemin the bayis. Let's say the schach is very thick, like a house. So afal pi shein hakechavim nira mitoicho, even though you're inside the sukkah, you cannot look up and see the stars through the schach, still kshera, still the schach is kosher. Even though lachadchili you're supposed to be able to look and see the stars through the schach, but if it's so thick the schach, still the sukkah is kosher. The Nishne Gimel, ho'ise sukosoi b'roisho agolo. If somebody makes a sukkah on top of a wagon, or the Rosh HaSvin, or on top of a ship, a boat is kshera, still the sukkah is kosher. And the Gemara says, as long as a normal wind will not blow down the sukkah, still the sukkah is kosher. Even though if a sukkah of a ruach, sheinu metzuya, a strong wind would come, it would not knock down the sukkah, still the sukkah is kosher. Because we paskin, it's enough to have a diras, arai, a temporary dira. And the Mishnah says, "V'yolim lo b'yomtiv." You're even allowed to go into your sukkah on yomtiv also, like you're allowed to go on top of a wagon or in a ship. However, what about b'roish ilon oy agabe gomel? Let's say you made your sukkah on top of a tree or on top of a camel, then kshera, the sukkah is kosher to use it on chol hamoid. But v'yain oylin lo b'yomtiv, on yomtiv you're not allowed to go up into your sukkah, because you're not allowed to use, be mishtamish with a tree. You can't go on a tree on Yom Tif, or you can't go on top of a Baal Chai, on top of an animal on Yom Tif. So therefore, you cannot go up to your sukkah on Yom Tif. What about shtayim b'ilon, v'yachas b'deyodim? Let's say two walls of the sukkah is like on this tree or on the camel, v'yachas b'deyodim, and the third wall was made by a person that's standing on the ground, or else shtayim b'deyodim, even if you have two walls that are standing on the ground that a person made, v'yachas b'ilon, and only the third wall is on top of the tree, kshera, the halacha is the sukkah is kosher, you could use it on chol hamoed, but again, v'yein olim lo b'yomtiv, you cannot go into your sukkah, use it on yomtiv, because still it's called you are using the tree. Because by two walls alone, the sukkah cannot stand. What about sholosh b'deyodim? Let's say you have three walls that are standing on the ground that you made. V'yachas b'ilon, only the fourth wall is hanging like on the tree. Then kshera, this sukkah is kosher. V'yolun lo b'yomtif, you could also go into the sukkah on yomtif. Because zehaklal, this is the rule, that kol shenita l'ilon, v'yichol l'amad b'fnei atzmo. And then in the last case, that even if you would take away this fourth wall, the wall that the tree is leaning on, the rest of the sukkah would still stay up, because three walls could stand up, ksheira. Then the sukkah is kosher, v'yodun lo b'yomtif. You're allowed to go up into this sukkah even on yomtif, because it's not considered you'd be mishtamish, you are using the tree, because even without the support of the tree, still the sukkah would stay up. Then Mishnah Dalid, ben ho'ilonus, if you make your schach, your sukkah, in between the trees, the ho'ilonus defonus loy, and you're using the trees to be your walls. It's the wall of the sukkah, but you are not leaning the schach on top of the walls, on top of the trees, but rather the schach is leaning on top of other beams. Then ksheira, you're allowed to use this sukkah even on yomtif, because it's not called you're being mishtamish, you are using the tree, because the schach itself is held up by something else, not by the trees. You are only using the trees for the walls, that's mutter. Then shluchei mitzvah peturim min hasukkah. If somebody is on his way to do a mitzvah, he's on the road, he is potter, he does not have to eat in a sukkah. He's allowed to eat outside the sukkah. Choylin u'misham shehim, of a person that's sick, or misham shehim, people that are helping the sick people, working for them, peturim min hasukkah, they are also potter from eating in the sukkah, because that's called a mitztayer, they have pain, and mitztayer is potter min hasukkah. Oichlin v'shoysim arai chutz la'sukkah. Same thing, you're allowed to eat or drink a little bit. Arai means a little bit. Chutz la'sukkah, even outside the sukkah. Now, the first klal of the Mishnah is that if you're oisik ben ishluchei mitzvah, that you're potter min ha'sukkah, that's the klal of oisik min ha'mitzvah is potter min ha'mitzvah. If you're working and doing one mitzvah, so you are potter from doing another mitzvah. Say, if you're shluchei mitzvah, you're potter from the mitzvah of eating in the sukkah. And then klal of mitztayer, if you have pain, because the pasuk says, basukas teshvu, and vidashin teshvu came to duru. You have to live there the same way you live in your house. So just like in your house, if you have pain, you don't come to the table, but you stay in your bed. It's the same way for sukkahs also. If it's painful for you to eat in the sukkah, you're mitztayer, you have a right to eat outside the sukkah. The Mishnah Hei, Maise, it once happened the case, v'heviyoloi l'Rabbi Yechonah ben Zakkai, that they brought some food to Rabbi Yechonah ben Zakkai, l'tor mesatavshol, just to taste the food, not really to eat it, but just to taste it. Rabbi Gamliel, shtei kaisavas, and they also brought in front of Rabbi Gamliel two kaisavas, two dates, udeli shomayim, and a bucket of water. For Yomru, and he told them, ha lum la sukkah, bring it up to the sukkah. In other words, I don't want to eat it outside the sukkah, but rather I'm only going to eat it inside the sukkah. Okay. And the pshat is, even though api halacha they were potter from eating it in the sukkah, like the Mishnah before says, you're allowed to eat an achilas arai, a small food, a small amount of food, you're allowed to eat, in other words, less than a kibetza, you're allowed to eat outside the sukkah. However, they were machmer al atzmai, that they did not want to eat anything out of the sukkah, even some water or just two dates, they took it into the sukkah. And this is the meaning that if somebody wants to be machmer upon himself, and only eat in the sukkah, and not eat anything outside the sukkah, is harezeh meshubach, it's a good thing to do. Now the next case was, ukeshenos nuloy l'Rabbi Tzadik, oichal pochus mikabetza, that when they gave Reb Tzadik food, which was less than the size of an egg to eat, first of all, netoloy b'mapa, he took it with a napkin, in order not to have to wash his hands before he ate it, v'yacholei chutz la'sukkah, and he ate it outside the sukkah. He was not machmer to eat it inside the sukkah. For a berach achrof, he did not make a brach achroiner after it, since he did not eat the size of a beya. And the pshat is that even if it was bread, he did not bench, because he holds like a Yehudi sheet in Gemara Brachas that holds that Yoni chayiv even with the rabbanon if he eat the shear of a beitza. However, the locha we hold, if you eat the size of a kezayis, of an olive worth of a bread, we hold you do have to bench to make a brach achroiner. The Mishnah of Rabbi Eliezer Oimer, Rabbi Eliezer says, Arba Esrei Sudois Chayiv Adam Lechol Basukkah. A person has to eat 14 meals in the sukkah during the 7 days of Sukkot. Achas Bayom V'Achas Balayla. One by day, one by night. It's every single day there's a chayiv to eat two sudis l'kavod yomtiv. The Chum say, Ein Ladova Kitzvah, no, there's no amount to how many sudis you want. You can eat as much as you want, and you can eat as little as you want. The chutz milelo yom tov rishon, excluding the first night of Sukkot, shel achag bavad, like only the first night of Sukkot is there a mitzvah chiyuv tita suda inside the sukkah, like we dash in tesvov tesvos michaga matzois, that there's a mitzvah sesai tit or kezayis or a beitzah's worth of bread inside the sukkah. The Yoidom Reb Lezer, and another thing Reb Lezer said, Mishle Ochal Lel Yom Tov Rishon, whoever did not do this mitzvah of eating his first Suda, the first night of Sukkot, is Yashlem Lel Yom Tov Achron. He could make up for it the last night of Yom Tov. That means Lel Shmini Atzeres, even though Shmini Atzeres is not a time to eat inside the Sukkah, even though you're not eating your meal in the Sukkah, still he holds you could make up for that first Suda that you did not eat. The Chacham say though, Ein Ladoba Tashlumim, no, you cannot make up for this. In other words, the mitzvah was to eat the first night in the Sukkah, to eat the Suda. If you did not eat the Suda the first night, you cannot make up for it even the last night. And Al Zeh Nemar, on this, the Pasuk says in Kehelis, Me'uvas lo yuchol liskoin, v'chesroin lo yuchol lihimonos. Me'uvas means something that is crooked, you cannot make it straight. And the chesaron on something that you're missing, you cannot make up for it. See, this type of a mitzvah, if you miss the mitzvah, you did not do it at the right time, the first night of Sukkot, you cannot make up for it later. And we paskan halacha like the chachamim, you cannot make up for this mitzvah later. All right, the turnover. Mishnah Zayin, Misha Hoya Roishoy Verubay Basuka. If a person has his head and the greater part of his body in the Sukkah, Vishulchonoy Betoich HaBayis, but his table is inside his house. In other words, the Sukkah is right next to the house, and the table is inside the house. So Beishamai Poislim, Beishamai says the person is not Yotza his mitzvah Sukkah. The Beis Hillel says no, the person is mekayim the mitzvah sukkah. And according to the Beis Shammai, it's a gzeirah that we're afraid maybe you go inside the house. Since your table is inside the house, we're afraid maybe you come to eat inside the house. Therefore, even though, like midiraisa, the fact that you're sitting inside the sukkah is enough, but midirabana though, Beis Shammai makes a gzeirah and says it's possible you're not yotza the mitzvah. On this, Omru Lehen Beis Hillel le Beis Shammai, so Beis Hillel said to Beis Shammai, Loikach hoyu hamaisa, wasn't it a case like this, that Shaholchu ziknei Beis Shammai v'ziknei Beis Hillel levaker es Rabbi Yochanan ben Hacharoni, that both the ziknei, the elders of Hillel, and the elders of Shammai, went to visit Rabbi Yochanan ben Hacharoni. And they found him that he was sitting, that his head and the most of his body was inside the sukkah, but his table was inside the house. That's the way he was eating on sukkahs. And nobody said anything to them. Nobody said anything to Rabbi Yochanan ben Hachurni. So it's mashma that he was mekayim the mitzvah even according to Beis Hillel. So the Mishnah answers back, no. Omru lehen de Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai answers back to Beis Hillel, Mishom Raya. From there you want to bring a proof. Avheim Omru loy. Of course they told him over there that in Kein Ho Yisin Noig, if this is the way you acted, loy kiyamta mitzvah sukkah yamecha, you should know you were not in the kind of the mitzvah sukkah. In other words, that since you have the table inside your house, Beis Shammai holds there's a gzera that you're not yotza the mitzvah sukkah. However, Allah, of course, we hold like Beis Hillel that you still are mekayim the mitzvah.
Mishneches, noshim v'yavodim uktanim, women, slaves, and ketanim, peturim in asukkah, they're part of the mitzvah sukkah. Because this is called the mitzvah saseh shezman geromo, therefore an isha is potter, and an eved kenani is doimet to an isha. Now a koton, it depends. Koton shein utzarach limoy, if the koton, the small boy, is old enough that he does not need his mother, then chayev the sukkah. Then there's a mitzvah chinuch that he should also sit inside the sukkah. Now ma'isa v'yolda kalosa shal shamay, it once happened that the daughter-in-law of Shammai gave birth, Shal Shammai Hazokin, the older Shammai, or Piche says Hamazeva. You know what they did? She wanted her baby to sit inside the sukkah. So what they did was, or Piche says Hamazeva. They broke down the roof, V'sichech al gabi hamito, and they put tzchach on top of where her bed was, b'shvil hakotan, in order that her kotan, her son, should eat inside the sukkah. So in other words, Shammai was machmir that even though a one day old baby should also sit inside the sukkah. However, the loch, it's not that way, that the mitzvah's chinuch only starts when the son does not need his mother and when he's roy to understand what the mitzvah sukkah is about. The Mishnah tests, Kol Shivas Hayomim, all 7 days of sukkah, Odom Oise Sukkos Kva, is supposed to make your sukkah kva, the permanent place to live, Uveisoi Arai, and your house is a temporary place. Yordu Geshomim, if it starts to rain during sukkahs, the rain is coming into the sukkah. Me'emosai Mutalafanis, at what time do you have a right to leave the sukkah? Mishetisrach Hanikva, that if the dish would become spoiled, in other words, the rain is coming inside your soup and spoiling the soup, then you have a right to leave. Now, moshlo moshel, what is this a comparison to when it rains on sukkis? Lo mahadov adoyma, what is this like? Li eved shebolim zoy kois l'rabboi, if a servant comes to serve his master, to give his master a cup of water. V'shofach lo kiten aponov, and the master takes the jug and turns it over on his face. In other words, like Hashem is telling us, He does not want our mitzvahs. He does not want us to serve Him. So that's a bad sign for Klal Yisrael if it rains on Sukkos. The Perek Shlishi, the first Mishnah, Lulav HaGozov HaYovesh Posel. If you have a lulav that was stolen, it's posel, because the posel says, Lokachtem Lochem, that it has to belong to you. V'HaYovesh, and a lulav that is dried out, it's not hodor, it's also posel. Shalashera, let's say this lulav came from a palm tree that the goyim or somebody worshipped it for an avoid zora, so therefore, since you have to burn it, it's posel for the mitzvah. V'Shalir HaNidachas, or else it grew in the city that rove of the Jews there worshipped the Avodah Zarah, that the loch is we have to burn the whole city, so therefore it's posel, you can't use it for the mitzvah. Because something that has to be burnt, we say it's missing its shear. There's a shear how tall the lulav has to be, so something that has to be burnt, it's as if it doesn't have its shear. What about niktam roishoy? Let's say the top of the lulav was cut off, broke off, or else nifritzu olav. Let's say its leaves were also taken off. Well, some say that it means it was the top leaves were pulled off, even though they're still around it. Well, some say that they were split. If the top of the lulav is split, then it's possible. What about nifridu olav? Let's say not the top leaf, but the other leaves are separated. Nifridu olav, it's kosher. Still, the lulav is kosher. Rabbi Yehuda says, Yagdenu mamala. In a case where the lulav, the leaves, like separated, you have to tie it together on top. Now, Tzinei Har HaBarzel, Ksheris. If you have lulavs coming from the palm trees that grow on Har HaBarzel, this mountain, is Ksheris. Those are good lulavs. Lulav Sheyesh Poi Shloisha Tvachim. A lulav has to have at least 3 tvachim long. Kidei Lenaneya Boi. And also, it has to have another tefach in order to let it shake with. Kosher, then the lulav is kosher. So it comes out the lulav has to at least be 4 tefachim tall, which is at least 16 inches. The Mishnah Beis, Hadas Hagozo Bahayovesh is posel. Hadasim, the same aloch. If you steal hadasim, or else hadasim that is dried out, if it's dried out, it's not hodor, it's posel. If you steal it, it's not lochem, it's posel. Shel Asherah v'shelir hanidachas, if this hadas came from a tree that the goyim worshipped for their avodah zarah, or else it was grown in this ir hanidachas that has to be burnt, the aloch is posel. The hadas is posel for the mitzvah. In niktam roisha, let's say the top of the hadas was cut off, or else nifritzu olav, again, the leaves were like split, or else the leaves were pulled off, or shehoya anovov merubois me'olav, or else there are more berries on the hadasim than you have leaves. Sometimes the hadasim have berries growing on them. So if you have more berries than you have leaves, posel, because that's not considered hodor, it does not look nice. But v'yim miyaton, let's say you pull off the berries, then kosher, then you're allowed to use this hadas, because now it's hadar. But v'yeyma matim b'yomtif, you're not allowed to pull off the berries on yomtif. Even in the case that you already pulled off the hadas from before yomtif, so it's not attached to the ground, still you're not allowed to pull off the berries, because that's called your b'machshar, you're making it as like tikkun kli, you're fixing this hadas now to be used, that's an issur d'rabbanan of tikkun mana. The Mishnah Gimel, Arova Gizula V'Yevesha Psula. By the Rav is also, if it's stolen, it's possible, or it's dried out, it's also possible. Shela Asherah V'Shir Ha'ir HaNidachas is Psula. Same thing, since it has to be burnt, it's possible. Niktam Roisha, if the top of it was cut off, Nifritzu Oleh, or else his leaves were pulled off. Fihatzavtzafor, that's another type of an Arova that has round leaves, and that therefore Psula, it's possible. That the way our Rav says, it can't be round, rather it's long. Kamusha, let's say the leaves are shrinking, or else with shenoshru miktsas oleho, or else if just some of the leaves fell off, as long as though most of the leaves are still on, or else with shobal, if it's in a place that it does not grow because of the river, but rather, or the nachal, but rather you have to water it, that's called shobal, means on a field that you have to water the field, ksheira, still their rov is kosher. In other words, even though the Torah says Arve Nochal, which is mashma by the river, but that's only because that's usually where it grows. But even if you have it growing in your own backyard or in the fields, still it's kosher. Mishneh Dalet, Rabbi Yishmael Omer, Rabbi Yishmael says, Shloisha hadasim, the mitzvah of lulav is, you have to have three hadasim, ushtei arovas, two arovas, lulav echad, one lulav, the esrog echad, and one esrog. Now, out of these three hadasim, afilu shnayim ketumim, v'yechod ein ekotim. Even if you have two of them, that the tops of the branch itself is cut off, and just one is not kotim, it's kosher. And the Gemara comes out really that Rabbi Shmuel holds really that if it's kotim, really it's possible. Just he holds it's enough to have one hadas. Rabbi Tafin says, afilu shloshton ketumim. He holds no, even if all three hadasim, the top of the branch, the wood of it, is cut off, still it's kosher. He holds here there's no psul of hador by hadasim. Rabbi Akiva says, kishem shalulav echad v'yesor gechod, kach hados echad v'rov achas. Rabbi Akiva argues, bechlal, and says, you only need one of each min, you only need one lulav, one esreg, one hadas, and one arova. However, lemaisa the locha we hold, like we use three hadasim and two arovas and one lulav and one esrog. Now, exactly if kotum is kosher or not for hadasim, it's a machlokes rishonim, and therefore, of course, lechetchila when you go to look for hadasim, you're supposed to make sure that the top of the hadas, the wood, the stem itself, it's not cut off the top of it. And lechetchila, all three pieces that we use for the three hadasim, on all three of them, you should be careful that the top is not cut off. However, if you can't find anything better, then we hold you're allowed to use it, even though it is cut off. It depends. If you have at least one that's not cut off on top, then for sure you can make a bracha. However, if all three hadasim you are using, all three of them, the tops of them are cut off, then we hold even though you could use it for the mitzvah, b'di'evid, but a bracha you should not make. Now again, the shal here of ketumim means that the stem itself on top is cut off. But if the stem is okay, just the top leaves are a little bit cut off, then the hadas is still kosher. The Mishnah Hey, Esreg HaGozel VaHayovish is Posel. By Esreg also the same Aloch, you need Lochem, and you need Hodor, therefore if it's stolen or dried out, it's Posel. Shalah Sheru VaShalir HaNidachas is Posel also, because it's supposed to be burnt, it's missing a cheer. Shal Orla, let's say it's a tree that has only grown for 2 years, so Posel, because the first 3 years of the tree, the fruits they give off, it's Asa Bachila. So therefore it's not called Lochem, it's not called Roy Lachila. What about shel truma temeya posel? If it's truma and it's also temeya, so the locher is you can't eat it, therefore it's posel. What about shel truma tohira? Let's say this is an esrog that you made into truma, but it's still tohor. So lo yito, you're not supposed to take it for the mitzvah. But v'yim notal, if you used it, it's kosher, because it has the heter achilu, the kahanim could eat it. However, you're not supposed to take it, because when you take the lulav, the esrog, most of the times they had water put on it, it went into water. So you made it able now to Kabbal Tumma, and you're not supposed to do this to Truma, you're not supposed to make Truma roll the Kabbal Tumma.
What about Shel Demai? Let's say you bought this Esrig off an Amoritz that the Loch is we're not supposed to eat it. So Beshamai Paisla, Beshamai says it's possible because you're not supposed to eat it. Or Beisilu Machshir and Beisilu says no, it's kosher. And the Gemara says because if you're an Oni, to an Oni he's allowed to eat Demai. Now since it's possible for you to be Machri in a Chosim and make yourself into an Oni, you're allowed to use this Esrig. What about Shel Maisa Sheni Bushlaim? If you have an Esrig that's Maisa Sheni, and the Locher is you're allowed to eat Maisa Sheni in Yerushalayim, so the din is Loyito, Lechatchila, at the beginning you should not take it. And again, the reason is like by Truma, because maybe you'll come into contact with water, and you'll be Machshir with Lekabel Tumna, and we don't want that to happen to Maisa Sheni. But V'yimnota Kosher, if you took this Esrig of Maisa Sheni and used it in Yerushalayim, the Locher is you are Yotzei Mitzvah, because it's called it has a Heter Achila.
The Mishnah Vov, also chazozis arubai. If there are like blisters on the esrig, on the majority of the esrig, or else nitla pitmosoi, the pitim was taken off, fell off, or else niklaf, it was peeled a little bit, or else nistak, there's a crack in the esrig, or else nikap, there's a little hole in the esrig. V'chos hakol shehu, this hole now is a pshat that some part of the esrig is missing, so posel. All these cases it's posel, either because it's not called hodor, or it's missing the shear, therefore it's posel. What about though, if it's also chazozis, if these like blisters on the esrig, al miyuta, was only on a small amount of it, not the majority of the esrig, only a small amount of it, or else nital uktsoi, the stem of it, or the stalk of it, like the part that's growing on the tree, if that part is comes off, but no part of the esrig is missing, or else nikav, let's say there's a hole in the esrig, but v'loichos hakolshu, there's nothing of the esrig missing, just it got pushed on the side, kosher. Then the esrig is still kosher. Now, esrig hakushi posel, if you have a black esrig, it's posel. Let's say it's green like leek. So Rabbi Meir, Machshir, Rabbi Meir says the esrig is kosher. If you have Yudah Pais, Rabbi Yudah says it's possible. And the Gemara explains the reason is because it's not called Hodor. Or else because it's not called the Gemara, the finish of the pre. Now that little Maisa, people use a green esrig today. That is the pshat because really if you leave that esrig alone, it would become yellow. Here the pshat is, it's not going to become yellow, it's going to stay green because it's not ripe yet. Therefore it's posel. But if the esrig is green, that will eventually turn yellow, then the esrig is kosher. The Mishneh Zayin, Shir Esrig HaKotan, what is the smallest size of an esrig that's still kosher? Rabbi Meir says, Kegois, even if it's only the size of a nut. Rabbi Yehuda says, Kebetze. No, it has to at least be the size of an egg, and that's the way we paskan lahalocha. Ulva Godol, what about if the esrig is very big? So Kadeshi Yechaz Shnayim Biyodiachis. Tiber Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says it can't be bigger than the size that you could hold two of them in one hand. However, Rabbi Yosi argues and says no, that afilu echad b'shtei yodov. Even if you need two hands to hold this one esrig, in other words, no matter how big it is, still is kosher to be used. The Mishnah Ches, ein oigdin es halulav ela b'minoi. You could only tie up the lulav. Like there's the mitzvah to take the hadassim on the right side and the robus on the left side of the lulav and tie the three together. So you're only supposed to tie it ela b'minoi, with the type of the lulav itself. In other words, you have to take like the leaves of the lulav to use it to tie up the three minim. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, this is Rabbi Yehuda Shita, because he holds that lulav is tzorech agad, it has to be tied together, and if you're going to use something else, it's called you bring in another min into the mitzvah, and you'll be over about tais if you're adding to the mitzvah. However, Rabbi Meir says, afilu b'meshicha, you could even use a regular string, a regular cord, because Rabbi Meir holds that midiraisa ein sorach agad, you do not have to tie the lulav and the minim together. We only do it to make it look nice. Therefore, even if you use something else, it's not called baal toisef, you're not adding on to the mitzvah, since you do not have to have it tied together. Now, Amar Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Meir says and brings a proof to himself that Maisa b'Yanshei Yerushalayim, it took place with the people in Yerushalayim, shayu oigdin es lulveihim b'gemonios shel zohov, that they used to tie up their lulav with threads of gold. So you see, they used to use other type of things to tie up the lulav and the adasim and the rovas. So Amru Loi, it's like if you just said it back to Rabbi Meir, no, b'minoi hoyu oigdin, oisoi milamata. You should know on the bottom part of the lulav, where you actually hold the hadasim and the rovas, where there is the ikka mitzvah agad, There they used to tie it up with a part of the lulav itself, peminon. Just on top, they used to tie it up, they used to put gold around the lulav, just to make the lulav look nice. So that is mutter, even according to Rabbi Yehuda. Because the Ikar Mitzvahs Agad is where you hold the three minim together. And there, for sure, they only tied it up with a piece of the lulav itself, with the leaves of the lulav. Mishnah Tes, Fe'echen hoyim menanin. Where exactly during Hallel do you have to shake the lulav? So it says, Bo'hoidu la'ashem t'chilu v'soif. The first Hoidu Lashem we say in the capital Kuf Yudches, and the last Hoidu Lashem. Uvo Ono Hashem Hoshino, when we say Ono Hashem Hoshino, also we shake the lulav. Tivrei Beisilu, this is Beisilu's pshat. Ubeis Shammai Omrim, Beis Shammai says though, Af Bi Ono Hashem Hatzlichano. We even shake the lulav when we say Ono Hashem Hatzlichano. Omer Rabbi Akiva says, you should know that Soifer Hoyisi, like I observed, that Rabbi Gamliel over Rabbi Yeshua, that Shekol Ha'om Hoyimananen Es Lulveim, everybody were shaking their lulav, Fehein Leninu, but they did not shake the lulav, Ela Biono Hashem Hoshiano, only when they said Ono Hashem Hoshiano, in other words, not by Ono Hashem Atzlichano. Now, Misha Boba Derech, if somebody comes home, Foloihoye Biyoda Lulav, Litol, and he does not have a Lulav to take to use, Likisha Yichnas Lebesai, when he comes home to his house, Yitol Al Shechonai, he should take the Lulav to be Mekayim the Mitzvah. In other words, he was traveling that day, and he did not have a Lulav with him. So throughout the day, he was not able to do the Mitzvah of Lulav. Now when he comes home, now he has to do the mitzvah of lulav. And when the Mishnah means yitel al shulchan, it means even if he sat down to eat in the middle of a suda and he reminded himself that he did not bench lulav yet, he's supposed to stop the suda to bench lulav. La loynot al shachris, if a person did not bench lulav in the morning, yitel ben habayim, he could even do it in the afternoon as long as it's before shkia. Shekol hayom kosher lulav, because the whole day is kosher for the mitzvah of lulav. Of course, there's an Indian knows reason Magdini is supposed to do it as early as possible. But if you did not do it early in the morning, you could do it throughout the whole day. Mishnah Yud, Mi shoye eved o yisha o koton makrin oisoi. If a person did not know how to say halal himself, so he had an eved or an isha or a koton read halal. So the locher is oina achrayim ma shehein oimrim. He has to say every word after them. He has to say like word for word. In other words, since an isha or an eved or a katan is potter from this mitzvah, they cannot be mitzi you. So therefore, you have to say every word yourself. And also, sehilai meira, you're going to receive a curse for this, while you yourself did not learn how to read, how to say hallel yourself. But im hoye godol makri yosai, let's say the person that's saying halal is a godol, he is a mechuyev bedover, then if you listen, he could be mitzi you. So then the locher is oina achra of hallelujah. All you have to answer is just at the end, you have to say hallelujah. But you do not have to say word for word, since you could be yotze from the one that's saying for you. The Mishnah Yud Aleph, mokoyim shenogu lichpoil yichpol. When they said halal, if the minig was to say the psukim twice, like we do, when we say oidcho ki ani soni, or else hoidu l'ashem ki toiv, is yichbol. If that's the minig in the place, so you're supposed to say that way also. Lifshoit, yifshoit. If the minig is only to say the posik once, so you're also only supposed to say it once. Lavorach achrov, yivorach achrov. If the minig is to say the bracha at the end of Halel, you should also say the bracha at the end. Because the klal is, Hakol k'minig hamedina. You're supposed to go after what the minig is in this place. Halokeach lulav mechavero b'shrius. If somebody buys a lulav, an esrig, off his friend, on shrius, and you're afraid that the person you're buying it from now was an amoritz, so maybe this esrig has kedusha shrius on it, and you're not allowed to do business with it, so you're not allowed to really buy it. Therefore, what you're supposed to tell him is, noisim loy esrig b'matono. You're supposed to tell him, please give me the esrig for a present. Lefi shein rasher lelokha b'shrius, because you're not allowed to sell and do business with pears that grew on Shemitah. And therefore, I'll pay you for the lulav. That's the way you're supposed to say. Like, I'll pay you for it. Just the money will go for the lulav, and the esrig, please give me for a present.
Now, Mishnah Yudbeis, Parishayna Hoyululuv Nita Ba Migdash Shiva. At the beginning, in the Beis Hamikdash, they used to take the lulav all 7 days of Sukkot. Like the Pasuk says, Usamachtem Lefnei Hashem Elokeichem Shivas Yomim. Uva Medina, but outside the Beis Hamikdash, Yom Echad, they only used the lulav only the first day. Like another Pasuk says, Ulakachtem Lochem B'yom Harishon. So we dashin that outside the Beis Hamikdash, the Chiyuv is only the first day. But in the Beis Hamikdash, then you're supposed to take the lulav all 7 days. But Mishachorav Beis Hamikdash, when the Beis Hamikdash was Chorav, his Hiskin Rabbi Yechon and Metzaki and Meretakono, she he lulav nito b'medina shiva, like we do today, that we take the lulav all 7 days. Why? Zechal Hamikdash was supposed to remember the way it was in the Beis Hamikdash. Only on Shabbos we don't take the lulav because of Exerim with the Rabbanan. But otherwise, all 7 days of Sukkot we use the lulav. That's the takono of Rabbi Yechon and Metzaki. Another takona was v'sheyehe yom haneif kula yoser. Now yom haneif, that's the second day of Pesach, tes zayin v'nisan, that's the day they bring the korban omer. Now midiraisa the loch is you're not allowed to eat chodesh, the new wheat, the new grain that grow, only after they bring the omer, after tes zayin v'nisan. Now, when they had the Beis Hamikdash at the time when they used to bring the Korban Omer, they brought it in the morning. As soon as they brought it, you're allowed to eat the Chodesh, the new wheats. But after the Churban of the Beis Hamikdash, it made a takono that the whole day is also, they were not allowed to eat the new wheat, the Chodesh, until after the Yom Hanof, until after Tes Zayin Benisin. It comes out until Yud Zayin Benisin. That's when we're first allowed to eat the Chodesh, the new grains that grew that year. The Mishnah Yud Gimel, Yom Tov Harishon Shel HaChog, the first day of Sukkot, Shechal Liyos B'Shabbos, even if it came out on Shabbos, or when it came out on Shabbos, Kolohom Moilichon Es Lulveihem LeBeis HaKnesses. Everybody used to bring the lulav to shul before Shabbos, because you're not allowed to carry on Shabbos. Now this was Bizman, they had the Beis Hamikdash, that they used to have the mitzvahs, even the mitzvah of lulav, even on Shabbos. Bizman Azeh, we know we don't use the lulav on Shabbos, because there's a gzera, maybe you come to carry it. However, Bizman, they had the Beis Hamikdash, they were supposed to use the mitzvah on Shabbos, so they had to bring the lulav to shul before Shabbos. L'mochros, the next day on Shabbos, Mashkimim used to get up early, Ulboyim, and they came to shul, so kol echad v'yechad makir eshaloi. Everybody recognized his own lulav and esrig, v'noitle, and they took it. Mifnei shomer chachom, got a chom dashin and tell us, ein odim yoytzi yedei chavosa b'yom tavarishan shalachog, v'lulava shachaveroi. Because the first day of Sukkot, the Torah says, v'lakachtem lochem, that it has to belong to you, it has to be your lulav and your esrig. You can't be yaitzu with your friends. Therefore, you have to make sure it's your own to be mekayim the mitzvah. However, v'shar yemay sachog, the rest of the days of Sukkot, are dem yaitzi de chavosa b'lulav ha-shechaveroi. You could be yaitzu the mitzvah even with your friends, lulav. You do not need lochem the rest of the days of Sukkot, only the first day. L'maisa b'zman hazeh, the second day of Yom Tov, since it's a sveik of the yomer, that maybe the second day of Yom Tov is really the first day, we're machmir even the second day of Yom Tov also should be lochem. But after the second day, then there's no din of lochem, you could even use your friends. However, l'maisa, if you want to be yetzir with your friends, love the first day of Sukkot, we give it b'teros ha-maton ha-manas l'hachzer. He has to give it to you for a present, and then you return it. Mishnah Yudalit, Rabbi Yossi says, Yom Tov Harishon Shel Hechog Shechol Lias B'Shabbos. Let's say the first day of Sukkot comes out on Shabbos. V'shochach v'yosi et ha-lulav l'rishus ha-rabim, potter. If somebody by mistake took his lulav to shul, carried it out to the rishus ha-rabim, he's potter. From Achiv Chattis, Mifnei Shoytzi ha-rishus, because he took it out rishus with permission. So Rishus does not really mean he had permission to carry out, it just means this shagoga, this forgetting, he forgot when he was doing a mitzvah, and therefore Rabbi Yossi holds that if you're Isik b'mitzvah and you're shogag, you're potter even from a korban. Mishnah Tezvov, Mekabelis isha miyad b'no u'miyad abaylo u'mach zirosoy l'mayim b'shabbos. So this again is talking about Bizman, they had the Beis Hamikdash, that they used to use the lulav on Shabbos, so the wife of the house could take the lulav from the hands of a son or the hands of a husband and return it to the water with which they took it out that morning. In other words, if they had the lulav in a vase of water
So when they take it out Shabbos in the morning to use it, they're allowed to put it back into the same water that they had from before. And the chiddush about the Isha is, even though she's potter from the mitzvah, I should not think to say it's like muksa, but no, since the husband and the son is allowed to use it, for her also it's not muksa. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yehuda says, v'Shabbos machzirim. If it's Shabbos, you're allowed to return it to the same vase that it was in from before. The Yom Tov, let's say not on Shabbos, but on Yom Tov, Maisifin, you're even allowed to add more water into the vase on Shabbos. In other words, this lulav and the three minim, they don't really grow. It's just preserving it that it should not rot. So therefore, this is mutter even to add more water, but not on Shabbos. Over Moed, but on Chol Moed machlifin, you could even change the water and put new water in. Now, Katan Hayadei Lananeya, a Katan, if he's old enough that he realizes he knows how to shake the lulav, is Chayi Belulav. Then there's a chiv upon the father, as the mitzvah's chinuch, to buy a lulav and esrig for her son. Yeperek Dalet, Lulav Yarova Shisha Veshiva. The mitzvah of lulav and the mitzvah of arovas that they used to use in the Beis Hamikdash to go around with every day is sometimes it's 6 and sometimes it was 7 days. We'll see in the next Mishnah, we'll explain when it was used 6 times, when it was used 7 times. Hahalal v'yasimcha, that is a mitzvah to say halal every day. And that is a mitzvah of simcha v'samachta b'chagecha, to eat like basar every day. Shumayna, all light days of Sukkot, even Shemini Atzeres, there's a mitzvah to say complete halal and to have the mitzvah of simcha. Sukkah, what about the mitzvah tidin, the sukkah of Nisach HaMayim, to bring the special Nisach HaMayim? Shiva, that's only the 7 days of Sukkot, not on Shemini Atzeres. V'yacholul, that they used to play the flute in the Simcha Beis HaShoevar, Chamisha V'shisha. Sometimes it was 5 times, sometimes it was 6. And now the Mishnah will explain each one. Lulav Shiva Ketzer, how do we have the mitzvah lulav to pertain for 7 days? Yom Tov Arishon Shachag Shachali is B'Shabbos. If the first day of Sukkot came out on Shabbos, B'Zman they had the Beis Hamikdash, so lulav Shiva, the first day they used to use the lulav, even though it was Shabbos. So therefore in such a case it had the lulav all 7 days. For Shav Kol HaYomim, but if the first day was not Shabbos, so then it comes out that any day that Shabbos comes out, they did not use the lulav on Shabbos. So therefore that year you only had Shisha 6 times. Arovo Shiva Ketzer, how do we have the mitzvah of Arovis all 7 days? That Yom Shvi Shal Arovo Shechal Yis B'Shabbos. If Hashana Rabbah comes out on Shabbos, Arovo Shiva, then they would take the Arov even on Hashana Rabbah, and therefore the other 6 days they'd also do it. So that's how you have Arovis for 7 days. But for Shav Kol HaYom, all the rest of the years, Shisha. And then when it comes the day of Shabbos, if it's not on Hashanah Rabbah, you would not use the Rav on Shabbos, therefore you only have the Rav 6 days. Mishnah Dalad. Mitzvah Lulav Ketzad. How do we have the mitzvah of Lulav? Yom Tov HaRishon Shel HaChag Shechal Yis B'Shabbos. If the first day of Sukkot comes out on Shabbos, so B'zman they had the Beis Hamikdash first, it was Moilichin Es Lulaveyim Lahar HaBayis. They used to bring the Lulav to the Beis Hamikdash of the Har HaBayis. Before Yom Tov, before Shabbos, via Chazonim, that was the Shamash there, Mekablu Mehem, they would accept it, take it, V'soidrin Oysen Agav Itzdeba, and they would set them up on top of an Itzdeba, top of a platform like, where they would set aside to put the lulavs. Now, we have Canaan, the older people that couldn't just be mixed up with the big mob, so Manich and Eshelahem B'lishcha, they used to put their lulavs away in a special room, the Lishcha, a special room set aside for them. Now, Malamdim Oysam Leimer, they would teach, Bezdim would teach these Chazonim that took care that Kol Misha Magia Lulavi Biyodai, they made like a takona, that everybody should say that any lulav that comes into my hand, Hareyu Lebimatona, it should be yours for present. In other words, even if somebody by mistake would take somebody else's lulav, the owner before made it tonight condition and said like, oh, if my lulav ends up by anybody's hand, whoever it ends up by, I mean to give it to you for matana. So therefore he would be yaitza the mitzvah of lulav. Because like we learned before, the first day it has to be lochem, the lulav has to belong to you. Now, Lamacha, what happened was the next day on Shabbos, Mashkimim, Maboyim, people got up early and came, V'achazonim, Zorkim, Oysim, Lefneim, and the Shamash would throw the lulav to each one of them. V'hein, Mechatfin, they used to grab it, U'makin, Yishas, Chaveru, they would hit one another with the lulav.
Ukesherol Bezdin Shabolo De Sakona, when Bezdin saw what was going on, that danger could come out of this, his kinu shihe kolechud viecha noita bebesoi. They made that Sakona didn't know that everybody should take the lulav, do the mitzvah, bebesoi in their own house, and not to bring it to the Harabayis on Erev Shabbos. So this takona was still bizman they had the Beis HaMikdash, that they still did the mitzvahs lulav on Shabbos. However, they did not bring it to the Beis HaMikdash before Shabbos, but rather they just did it in the house. Like we spoke out, bizman hazeh it's not magay, bizman hazeh we do not use the lulav on Shabbos.
Mishnehe, mitzvahs arova ketzad. Like what was the mitzvah of arova? Mokum hoyu lamatim Yerushalayim. There was a place below Yerushalayim. V'nikra moitza. The name of the place was called moitza. Now yordim l'sham. They went down there. Omalaktim, and they collected misham from there. Morbius shel arova. That's long leaves of arovas. Uvoyin, and then they would come back to the Beis Hamikdash. V'zoykfin oyson betzidi hamizbech, and they would set them upwards, zaykfen, make them straight up, b'tzid ha-mizbech, on the side of the mizbech, v'roshayim kefufin agabi ha-mizbech, and the tops of them were bent over towards the mizbech. Now, toku v'heriyo v'toku, they blew the shofar once, a tkiya, a long one, v'heriyo, they made it truer, small ones, then v'toku, they blew again, a long one. Now, b'chol yom, every day of Sukkis, ma'akif enes ha-mizbech pa'machas, used to go around the mizbech once with these arovas. V'yomrim, they would say, ono Hashem hoshiyano, ono Hashem atzlichano. Now, exactly how they went around...